Hey, and thanks for tuning into the Corporate Yogi Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Zizak. So this pod is your dedicated time for growth, for developing practical tools to use with your team, to use in other relationships, and also to learning deeply about who you are and what makes you tick. Because you are a brilliant and powerful being, and I want you to invest more time appreciating that, reflecting on who you are being, who you are becoming, not just what you are doing. Because doing is awesome, yes, I get it, but it's being where all the magic happens, where the transformation happens, and that's really where you get to feel fulfilled. So you're going to love this episode on change today and discovering how change impacts you. It's probably not a topic that you've spent a lot of time on in the past. So this is going to be awe-inspiring for you, but also I warn you, your head is going to be just churning with ideas of how you can use with your team. Use the tools to become closer with them, to understand them greater. And there's a whole lot of juicy stuff in here. So here's a look at what you're going to learn today. In the first segment, I'm going to explain the difference between inner and outer change. Then in the second segment, you'll learn how to use this opportunity to lean into change. And in the last segment, you'll learn how to leverage the change adoption curve, which again is a great tool to use with your team. So get out of your head into your heart and let's dive right in, shall we? All right, welcome to segment one. And I'll give you the heads up here that you're going to either love this work we're talking about in change or hate it. People either love change and they gravitate to it, they create it, they seek it out, they demand it, or they hate it and they run from it and they turn around and play hide and seek. There's no usually in between, you know, from those extreme examples. And I learned this years ago doing all my personality workshops. Some of us are just wired for change. We love growth. We love risk. We love doing new things. We gravitate to it. We embrace it. It comes naturally to us. But to best understand change, we need to learn the difference between inner change and outer change. Now, inner change is change that we initiate on our own. For example, we go out and we seek a new job. We seek a change in where we're currently living. And the difference is that outer change is change that happens on its own, or what I sometimes say, change that happens to us. It's not necessarily something we're seeking out or welcoming. So for example, a change in a job, like getting laid off, a change in where we live, like being evicted, whereas outer change is change that happens to us, we didn't sign on for it. For example, losing a loved one, that can be a shock to our system, especially when, you know, it was unexpected and we weren't really prepared for it. That's external change. And, you know, it can be really hard to go through external change. Sometimes moving halfway across the world, or losing money unexpectedly, losing your health or someone else close to you losing their health, that can be external change as well. These are changes that are unexpected and we often don't adapt well to them because, like I said, they happen to us, they happen all over us. And because we didn't initiate them, the biggest difference here is that we don't feel like we are in control. And it's important to understand that there are two different types of changes, right? These internal versus external changes, and the differences can be really, really hard. So I want you to start by thinking about examples so you can really land this in your head. Let's start by thinking about internal changes. These are the ones that we initiate. I want you right now as an exercise to think of three internal changes that have happened recently in your life. Or if you need to go back a couple months, couple years, you can do that too. They don't have to, you don't overthink this. Just, you know, think of things that have happened, changing your job, changing, taking a trip, moving where you live. One, two, three, just think of three things. Was it easy to come up with these changes? Typically it is, because there's many of them in our life and many examples that we have to choose from. Now we're going to take a minute to think about external changes. And I want you to do the same thing. I want you to take a minute to pause and think about three external changes that have happened to you. And these are changes like losing a loved one, losing health, losing control, anything that was a surprise to you. It could be losing the place where you live, if that was a surprise to you. Maybe, you know, you had a living arrangement with a friend and they no longer want you to cohabitate, and so they've asked you to leave. That can be an external change. So think about it right now that you've got three and three. Were the internal changes easier to come up with than the external changes? They typically are. So with the external changes, or the changes that happened to you that were initiated outside of yourself, did you feel like you were out of control, or did you feel less control with the other types of changes? It's not that you initiated it, so typically it can be an experience that feels a little bit different. So now we're going to think about all the time that it took to think about the external changes and what are the changes that happened to you, over you. It's not change you initiated. It's typically not change that you even wanted, but sometimes it ends up being the change that we really need. We end up learning a lesson, and we didn't see the change as a gift, but overall, eventually, once we get through it, it becomes good for us. And let's be honest, there's some really crappy changes that happen to us, and they stay crappy. And I think I keep coming back to losing my dad, because that was a really sad moment. Also losing my grandfather recently. You know, when you have a death in the family, that can be really, really sad. A lot of things during the pandemic, you know, like losing business, losing money, those are all external changes, and they can be really, really sad. However, let's not get carried away and make these two types of changes mutually exclusive. We don't want to play good cop, bad cop here. Sometimes external changes are exactly what we need, and we need that big kick in the butt, but we weren't willing to do it on our own. So to deal with the analysis paralysis in the process, we had the change made to us. So this concept of an external change has been named by one of my clients as the trampoline effect. How fun is that, right? Let's, you know, I always love having a little bit of fun with these concepts, because I find that when we make them sticky, they tend to be easier to understand for us. So here's what the trampoline effect looks like. So when we go through high high and a low low, sometimes the low lows that we think we're never going to get through are actually the things that launch us to the higher peak of experiences that we had not really even envisioned for ourselves. And so this story is awesome. It happened with a team I was working with at RBC. And what we were doing, an exercise of a reflection on our life. So we call it a timeline or a journey line. And let me share the story where it all happened. I was working with them and they started to notice this pattern of an exercise. And every time that they plotted something really, really low that was perceived as quote unquote negative that they had been through, it was really common for that low, low, low to be followed by a really high, high, even higher than they were before. And many people had this pattern that they started to notice And they called it the trampoline effect because the low low really bounced them out of that fog. And because they knew they had to go through this journey, through this hard time, it boosted them to an even higher place. You know, this is what we have when we call a growth mindset, rather, and we bounce back easily from something. I love it. And I've used this term ever since, trampoline effect. You're welcome to use it yourself or use it with your team members. So while some external changes, like unexpected loss of a loved one, loss of money, can be very painful, loss of a job, they can also be really positive. So I want you to hold space for them to be positive and not push yourself into that place of judging them. Okay, that wraps up segment one, where we learn all about internal versus external change, two very different things, not mutually exclusive though. We're not playing good cop, bad cop here. We're just seeing them for what they are, and we're embracing the trampoline effect. And I want to challenge you to use that term today because it's such a cool term. So find a place in your day-to-day, in a meeting, in a chat with a friend, with a colleague, a direct report. Use that term, trampoline effect. I promise you'll feel the coolest ever. Okay, in segment two here, I'm going to share some great ways to use change as a tool with your team. Now, the most important thing to remember is that not everybody's going to respond to change and have the relationship with change that you do. You may love change, and your team members may not. And there's no right or wrong here, just awareness. You know, we never want to make anyone wrong. And the first one I want to explain quickly, you're probably familiar with it, so I'm not going to go too extensively. You can do some more research on your own, but it's based on the technology adoption curve. We talk about it as the change adoption curve. And so there's five different segments. We start with the leapers that represent 2.5% of the population. The next wave, early majority, late majority, people in between. Each section or category has less and less risk to it. So the first category, the early adopters or leapers that only represent 2.5% of the population, they have very high tolerance for risk. But if we look at the last category, number five, the tradition holders or late adopters, they represent a small percentage of the population, but they have zero tolerance for risk. And so it's really hard for them to change. And they're usually the ones that we are left navigating at the end. Whereas leapers are the ones that you want to get on board first to understand and embrace the change, because then they'll get everybody else on the wagon and encourage them to do so. So there's lots of different tools and techniques that you can use with your team. I use one that has triangles as a visual because I think it's a really strong metaphor to understand change and what we go through. So take a second to really visualize triangle with you inside your head. And I'm going to teach this model to you so you can use it with your team. So if you can, visualize the three sides of a triangle. And the space in between will have the left and the right. So we'll label the left side and we're going to call that the primary. So the left is the primary. And then the place on the right that we're going to is the secondary. So this is like having a starting point and then an end point. Like we read, right? We always read left to right. So the right is where we're heading, and if the triangle is narrow, it indicates that the change happened quickly, meaning that there was a small gap between the primary and the secondary. However, if the gap is really wide, that space between primary and secondary, A and B, was wide, it means that the change happened over a long period of time. Think about, you know, companies that take 2 years to build a new website. Like, that's a long time. Like, you're basically, your website's irrelevant and no longer valid by the time it goes live, in my humble opinion. So this is relevant because I want us to understand in most cases that quicker changes with less space in between the primary and secondary are harder, and they have a steeper trajectory for us. So think about the incline of a treadmill. This isn't always the case, but When you have a treadmill with a really large incline, it's harder to walk through the change. So it doesn't mean the change is bad. It just means that it can be really, really harder. And if it takes longer and there's more space, we have more time to prepare. We have more time to make a plan. We have more time to implement. We have more time to follow up afterwards. So recognizing that there are different shapes, different widths at the bottom of triangles can really help you understand and normalize the different changes that you and your team are going through. So for the second part of this model, so the first part is gauging how wide it is at the bottom. The second part, we start to think about the many different ways that we cross over the triangle or go through the change from primary to secondary. So this is also really cool. And so come back to your visual of that triangle where we've got a primary and a secondary, and think about all the different ways that you can walk over from the left to the right, primary to secondary. We also sometimes call this current state and future state, which is another way to look at it, but use whatever term really lands for you. So here's the first strategy or approach, is to visualize and imagine what is going on in the secondary. What will it be like to be over there, right? The second approach is to talk to someone who's already been there. And if you're thinking about making that change, maybe to a more senior role, and you talk to someone who's in that role, it's kind of like you're doing a little bit of research. You're asking them what the change was like for them, and that will help you to envision and embody what that change is going to be like for you. You're going to think about things that apply to you that you hadn't necessarily thought of in the past. This is what I call like an education or a research strategy, because we're gathering data. Another way is to map out the baby steps and break things down, which makes it more manageable. And then another more high risk is to make a big leap and to jump from A to B, something I call a Hail Mary, and just take a deep breath and jump over right away from A to B. We just rip the Band-Aid off. Okay, so there you have it. There's a lot of different approaches to how we can approach change. It obviously depends enormously on the type of change we are facing. You're not going to change office locations by doing a Hail Mary. I mean, that would be one that would work with the previous examples of breaking something down into baby steps. You're going to have a project plan, right? And think about the triangle. Is it going to be narrow or wide in the bottom? Going to be wide, right? Because it's going to take a long time for you to make all those changes. Whereas if you made a big leap, like an example would be quitting your job, which is either something that induces fear or excitement in you right now. But that would be something with a really narrow gap between primary and secondary, because we do it right away. And that's something that we would call a Hail Mary, because we are just ripping off the Band-Aid. All right, so there you have some different ways that you can use change as a leader, to use these models to walk your team through. The first example I shared is to understand the change adoption curve in the five different categories. You need to know what each of your team members are. And then this second tool that I just taught you can help you to understand the change that they're going through and give them a frame of reference. So that wraps up the two different leadership change resources that you can use with your team. Okay, and lastly, I can't really talk about change without talking about growth hangovers, because they are the epitome of change. A growth hangover, as a reminder for you, is when you make a grand gesture or spend a disproportionate amount of time outside of your comfort zone. For example, a grand gesture could be asking for a raise or giving hard feedback, having a courageous conversation. It's a single action or transaction that is exactly what the change can feel like in that moment. It happens fast and it's scary, and it usually evokes a lot of adrenaline and a lot of imposter syndrome. It requires us to exert a lot of energy because we're doing something new or we're doing something that just intimidates us. And the other type of growth hangover is when we spend a large amount of time outside of our comfort zone. So this could be a full day offsite, a long team meeting, a conference, working at a booth. Oh my gosh, my worst nightmare ever. Spending 3 days just, you know, having small talk with strangers at a booth, at a trade show. That is definitely a growth hangover for me. They are very real and they affect us physically and emotionally. And most importantly, if you want to be compassionate with yourself when you have one, think about what happens to you when you have a food hangover or a hangover from drinking too much alcohol. What happens to you physically? You're tired, right? You're not at your peak performance. You might take that day to chill out, rehydrate, and take it easy on yourself and have that time to recover. So this is important to relax and recognize what you've gone through. If it's something really insane that you've gone through, then the adrenaline leaves your body and you're likely going to be pretty tired and weak and exhausted. So when we do things that are new or that challenge us, we tend to use up more energy. And so a simple task that might expend 2 units of energy, because it's something new, it might require 10 units of energy. And because there's new elements to the task, we might require more focus and attention. And if you're going to do anything that's outside your comfort zone, well, that is a really big opportunity for a growth hangover, because your sneaky little saboteurs, aka those negative, disruptive voices inside your head, constantly saying you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not worthy, are always going to show up the most and the loudest when we're stepping outside our comfort zone and in the middle of change. And growth is usually where that happens. It's a perfect recipe for saboteurs to be invited to the party. They always show up in these scenarios the loudest when we're on the cusp of leaving our comfort zone and heading into our growth zone. So not only are you doing something new, but you're battling your saboteurs when you're doing it. And it's just exhausting. So these are your gatekeepers. They challenge you. They challenge what you're doing. And they ask lots of questions as you're going through. So just be aware of that. Be aware of this experience. Be conscious of it. And this will help you to be aware of your growth hangovers. All right, so that wraps up the conversation, the quick reminder on growth hangovers. Remember that whenever you're going through a change, there's gonna be that time with a growth hangover. So do yourself a favor and really prepare for it in advance. Okay, it's time to start wrapping up this episode on change. As always, if you're inspired by the content today, please share this episode with a friend, with a colleague, or on social media. And you can also subscribe to this podcast on my website on thecorporateyoga.com. Or if you want to book a chat with me, you can do that either on LinkedIn or through my Instagram. We can find a time to talk. And as always, remember that any fear, any resistance that you hold deep inside of you, well, it's simply just your greatness in disguise.